Hi there, I'm CTV host Pablo Pereira, and I'm joined today with our city council member, Lucy Martin. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
We're here to talk about some very important news in the city of Calabasas, and specifically within the media department, and the idea that we now have closed captioning for our city council meetings. This is something that you were instrumental in, and something that was near and dear to your heart as well.
Yes. I grew up with deaf parents. My mother and father were both deaf. They were not born deaf. My mother lost her hearing at age 15 with the mumps, and my father 8 months with measles. So it wasn't hereditary in my family. We had five siblings, and we had to learn it as you would to hearing parents growing up. I used to practice under the kitchen table, watching my parents talk back and forth. So it's a very interesting part of my life that sometimes good, sometimes not good. I had to grow up very fast because I was the hearing adult.
I think we learned something, though, as children of parents with some sort of disability, that after a while that disability just kind of disappears, doesn't it? They're just your parents.
Right. They are to you, but to the outside world, they're not. They were considered, when my parents were growing up, it was like almost leprosy. You know, you put them in the attic, or they don't go out and socialize with you. And so for me growing up, it was starting to change a little bit, but people were still very, you know, deaf and dumb, and, you know, they won't know what we're doing. I ran into a lot of things happening that, being so young, I couldn't really understand it, and my parents couldn't really explain that to me.
Let's fast forward then to today. This is a new program within the city that you brought on. Tell us about it and what people can expect.
It is, since I interpreted, you know, I started, actually helped bring the ASL to the high school to make it part of a foreign language that kids could take. With budget cuts, it was removed, but I used to teach the elementary kids, or the middle school kids at lunchtime. So, you know, volunteering and helping some of the deaf parents interpret and stuff when interpreters couldn't come, and when I won my council election, I was in a position where I could actually do more, and that was bring closed captioning to the council meetings so that the hearing impaired or the deaf that live in the city could actually know what was going on in their city.
We know that there's some upwards of, I believe, 50 million people with some sort of hearing impairment or hard of hearing. Do we know what the numbers are locally? Do you have any idea at all?
I don't know what the numbers are locally, but when I was, right after my election, I worked the Pumpkin Festival, and a deaf couple came up to me and said to me, "We're so excited that you were elected. We'd like to know what's going on in the city." So I kind of, you know, and closed captioning had come out, you know, with technology. I actually have a video camera that I can talk to my mom every day, where several years ago, I couldn't do it unless, you know, there was someone there that could answer the phone. I was 10 years old before I got my first phone.
So we're going to talk to a couple of people today. Why don't you briefly tell us about Mark and CJ?
CJ, I had read about him in the Acorn. And didn't know whether he was the person that had approached me a couple years ago on closed captioning. So I called him, we played phone tag a little bit, we finally connected, and with Deborah Steller's help, we were able to bring it all together so that we have closed captioning, and CJ has been helping out with trying to promote that and helping us a little bit more on how we can do better with it.
Okay, and Mark has talked about this idea of bringing closed captioning of some sort into movie theaters, something a lot of people didn't think about.
Yeah, it will be great. it would be so nice, it would have been nice for me to be able to go to a movie or something with my parents, or to be able to pick up the phone and call them. So with technology, there's a lot of things happening, and it's just much, much more available that you can actually communicate.
I've been living with hearing loss for more than 50 years.
Me and my sister have been wearing hearing aids for most of our lives.
But it's not a solution for everyone with hearing loss.
I suffered hearing loss while serving my country as an Army specialist in Iraq. The damage I suffered in combat is making it even harder to fit back in as a civilian.
When I was growing up, understanding my teachers was really difficult.
I started to lose my hearing in college. Social situations became awkward. It was hard for me to tell my friends about my hearing loss.
50 million people in the country have hearing loss.
That includes 1 in 5 teenagers.
60% of the veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan have suffered hearing loss.
With your help, we can restore hearing.
Help make hearing loss a thing of the past.
We are just some of the many faces of hearing loss. Hearing Health Foundation is working to restore hearing.
To learn more about their research for a cure, visit hearinghealthfoundation.org, a public service from Hearing Health Foundation.
So let's jump right into it. How did you get into this?
My mother had had a hearing aid since I was a little boy. But I don't really think of that as the reason why it became important. I was working on a film with an independent filmmaker called See What I'm Saying, the Deaf Entertainers documentary. And the filmmaker had this amazing story about deaf culture. And I'd worked in the movie business for almost 20 years at that point, and I realized that I'd never really taken the time to realize that there is a boundary that prevents a large number of people from going to the movies and having a relationship with going to the movies the way we do. So I was at a screening of the film, and Hillary had some students from the California School for the Deaf Riverside come out. There was about 100 kids, all teenagers, and there was a Q&A before the movie, and Hillary had asked, how many of you have been to the movies at a movie theater before? Not a single high school student had, and I thought to myself, what an amazingly rich opportunity to do something transformative. I mean, honestly transformative, not just putting a Band-Aid on the hemorrhage and saying, oh, we're just going to do this incrementally. But I thought, what an amazing opportunity that with all the technology that we have now, with digital cinema files and the delivery mechanisms, the solutions that exist, to start building a relationship for deaf and blind people with movie-going relationships.
This is something you would think that the movie companies themselves should have been able to handle, or maybe had some sort of responsibility to do, wouldn't you?
I think that, as I like to say, in the timeline of media accessibility, we're only about here. There's still a long narrative that needs to be written in building that relationship. The technology is relatively new. Digital cinema files have only been really kind of available to filmmakers and to movie theaters for the last 5 or 6 years. And the solutions of the delivery for the eyewear for captions or the other devices are still relatively new. A lot of blind and deaf people haven't developed relationships with them yet because they're unaware of their being available. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and we're working with a lot of filmmakers to make sure that they caption their content, that they also describe their content for the blind, and then trying to inspire the theater owners to install the equipment. The DOJ is about to rule on guidelines for theaters to be more accommodating and accessible to the blind and deaf, but those guidelines haven't been issued yet, but they're expected very soon, and when that happens...
What are you hoping to see?
For me personally, I would hope to see there's an expectation placed on theater owners to increase the amount of accessibility devices in each of the theaters over the next 10 years so that by the end of the rollout, every theater has something. And that media creators have a responsibility to make sure every DCP or every digital cinema package that leaves a fulfillment enterprise has both captions and a described audio track. So when the end user arrives at the theater, they can just identify their need and they're given the solution for that.
Why is that so difficult? I mean, it seems closed captioning has been around for television for as long as I can remember. Sure. Why is it so different in movie theaters than our TV screens at home?
Well, the cultural issue is for a lot of hearing people, the addition of captions on the screen is bothersome. And the solutions, the eyewear and the other devices that deliver the captioning discreetly to the end user are a bit costly, and they're still kind of still in development to refine them to that utmost level of perfection. So there's still that transition phase from being nothing in terms of accessibility to the new tools. And again, it's still a new narrative in terms of we've had captions on television and the end user can have it at home. But I think part of the problem for theater owners is they don't want to have that conflict of someone saying there's captions on the screen and the other solution is a little more costly.
When you say costly, what's the audience for this? Are the production companies, are they losing money by not inviting the deaf into their theaters?
The Johns Hopkins University recently listed there are 50 million Americans, that's 50 Americans, that identify within the range of hearing loss. That's from hearing, hard of hearing to deafness, that people need to have captions. Some people don't go to the movies because they just can't hear it.
You said 50 million.
50 million.
So that's what, about 1 in 7?
Identify within the range of hearing loss. We have just started working with a veterans organization, and there are 400,000 veterans in the country who identify within that range of hearing loss. And most people just don't go. They'll stay home and wait for it on DVD or for captions. But there's something special that happens in the sanctuary. There's something I call it the sanctuary. I just think that when you go to the movies, it is like church for a lot of people. You go, there's an expectation, the lights are going to go down, the curtains are going to open, and something magical is going to happen. You're going to go someplace, you're going to learn something, you're going to have that moment. And a lot of people who have blind or deaf family members, that person stays home. They don't go to the movies with the rest of the family. They say, I'll meet you afterwards for dinner. And they don't have that experience together. So now the experience is available for everyone all at the same time.
So what's your specific role in this? How are you trying to push this?
Right now I'm working with filmmakers to let them know that these tools exist, because a lot of independent filmmakers who don't have a studio behind them to deliver this technology are completely unaware of the opportunity. I'm also working with different organizations. There's the GI Film Festival, and we just did an event at the San Pedro International Film Festival. We've done a lot of film festivals this year, helping them realize that they can deliver the experience. And we're also developing a process to incorporate sign language on the DCP so that family films that may have family members, like children who are deaf and don't read words yet, will be able to have the film interpreted for them at the theater, at screenings that are chosen by the theater owners.
And how receptive have the smaller independent filmmakers been? I mean, it's obviously a cost issue for everybody,
sure.
Maybe especially for the smaller filmmaker. But how have they received message?
I will tell you that in the last 6 months, I've probably had 13 different filmmakers at one-on-one time with them, and the minute they understand and have it explained to them, they're immediately on board. We have a project lined up already for our new process with our Sliver Window that goes into production in January, and we're going to be a part of the production from the first frame until it goes to theaters, making sure it's accessible.
Do you feel then that really with the technology that we have now, this should have been done already? This should have been done a long time ago, it sounds like to me.
And again, I think everything has to happen in a natural progression. I think the technology is still relatively new and is still looking for refinements. People who use the eyewear for captions, it is heavy. And imagine wearing a heavy pair of glasses on your face for 2 hours that are plugged into a box that hangs around your neck. And every time you move your head to look around the theater, the captions go everywhere you go.
Well, what about just simple limited screenings for the deaf? I mean,
that is another option, because with digital cinema files, that is absolutely an option. And I think when more people start to identify that need, and the more we can, through our organization, GEMA, the Global Event and Media Accessibility Initiative, the more we can co-opt cooperation between theater owners and the blind and deaf, the end user, the more rich that landscape will become.
And personally, for you, last question, why is this important other than your growing up period?
The movies have always been very special for me. I knew when I was 8 years old that it was a vocation that I had wanted to immerse myself in. And 42 years later, that's all I've ever done. And it's special and it's magical. And when I realized that there are people who don't have that relationship, I just felt as if I don't have children of my own. I wanted to have a legacy and to be a part of that change, to be a part of that cultural renaissance where everybody shares the light together. I think that to me was what drove me to want to be pushing the needle forward on this.
Grandpa, look what I got.
Let me see.
Oh, Dad, wait till you see the bike we got for Jake.
Hearing loss happens gradually with age, making it easy to ignore. Yet most older Americans aren't getting their hearing tested. Untreated hearing loss can keep your loved ones from enjoying what they cherish most.
Dad, can you hear me?
Don't let that happen. Speak up about hearing loss. You'll be glad you did.
All right, we're back with C.J. Jones. You are an actor, a comedian, a producer, a money manager. Did I leave anything out there? Or
jack of all trades.
I gotcha. Can you teach me to sign something really quick? Something easy?
Good morning.
Do it one more time.
Let's go here. Uh-huh. Morning.
Just this and this?
That's right.
What was this?
Good.
Oh, good.
Morning.
Good morning.
Do it very carefully. Otherwise, people think you say dirty sign language.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
So it's good morning.
Perfect. Okay, you passed.
Good. Thank you very much. So we're here to talk to you today a little bit about your life, your career, and you being deaf. What do you want to start with?
Well, I'm going to make it short and sweet. I was born in St. Louis, Missouri, and I have four brothers and two sisters. They're all hearing. My parents are deaf. And when I was growing up, I was hearing myself. Until 7 years old, I became sick with spinal meningitis, and that's how I became deaf. As I was growing up, I communicate with both sign language and voice. And you can see it right now. I grew up in the old school, and then deaf school, and then I went off to college, graduated. But the whole time, my heart always acting. Love acting on stage. And I look on TV, I saw Linda both, the Sesame Street. I fell in love. I want to be a TV star. Mm-hmm. So it sticks with me, everything. And I've been in several TV shows, movies, and I've been traveling all over the world. Believe it or not, I'm still doing it.
You're still doing it? You're not an old guy, though, right?
Oh, no. I'm 35 forever. Thank you.
I've been saying that for about 15 years or so, or something like that.
Good. All right. There we go. That positive attitude right there.
So you've never let your loss of hearing get in the way of anything that you've done?
Oh, never. Never. I always believe that I am who I am. I'm CJ, and nothing will stop me from reaching my dream, because it's really important that you believe in yourself. It doesn't matter if you have disability, blind, deaf, no leg, arm. What's most important is in your heart. You know you can accomplish. And with all the support from other people who understand what it takes to achieve, you have to work hard to reach your dream. That's what I'm doing.
So when you look at today's world versus the world you grew up in, for someone who's deaf, what's different today?
Oh, when I was young, you know, being deaf and black is a double whammy. So I've been going through a lot of obstacles. But with my humor, I always melt and pave through. And people become more receptive, realize how important who I am and what I can accomplish. So they become more understandable that I'm not deaf, I'm not black, I am who I am. And that what helped me to carry through the years with my humor and on stage and around the world. Now, today, more and more accessible, more open, more people accept, and more people take sign language classes. It's amazing. I think there's more hearing signers than deaf signers, because so many hearing people take sign language classes, even from elementary to college. It's amazing. So it makes my life becoming more accessible, and I'm very excited about potential future for the deaf children.
Can I tell you why I took sign language?
You?
Oh, yeah.
Are you taking sign language?
No, I did in college. Because
you too? Oh, you were?
Yeah, but I was no good at French. I couldn't learn French, so sign language was, was much easier than French.
Much easier than many did that.
And you can see all I remember is this.
Good
and
morning,
this, right?
Very
yeah.
good.
Oh, I'm sorry. About that.
Come back. Come back to sign language class so we can chit chat in private. Nobody knows what we're talking about.
I got you. So, what about the technology part of it? How has technology changed in. For you in your life, how has technology changed for you?
Yeah, well, back then we didn't have iPhone, TTY, teletype device for the deaf, in a machine, no interpreters at that time. Now my wife, she interpreted and she did a favor for me, but I love you. Anyway, there's so many little things that wasn't accessible to deaf. Today, we have iPhone, iPad, Galaxy, you name it, blah, 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 blah. Interpreters available, captioning on TV get better and better. Not full 24/7, there's something missing, but it's getting there. Finally, the deaf children will have easier time to become successful in life. More equal opportunity, not below. No, but equal is so important for everyone to have access together.
We heard from Mark earlier about movies and the ability for you to go to a movie or the other. He says 50 million Americans have some sort of hearing impairment. What do you think of his idea?
His idea is right on the dollar, and I agree with him 100%, and I'm glad that he is advocate for closed captioning in movies, on TV, everywhere. It's really important that, for me, I want to go watch a movie with my son. He want to watch, but if it's not captioned, how can I take him there? It's frustrating. I wish to bring him in to watch without closed captioning, and he would watch it, trying to figure out what's going on with me. So it's really important to have captioning available. And then, you know what? It's funny. My son born with TV on captioning all the time. Now he can read fifth grade level. Why? Because he watches TV with captioning every day. He's 6 years old right now, so I'm very proud that captioning really helps, not just with them, for hearing too. So it's wonderful to see more and more closed captioning available for all, hearing and deaf, both.
Entertainment, news, public affairs, things like that, you need that information.
Exactly. About public access, like Calabasas, need to be closed captioning, because I love to watch politics. I like to know what's going on with Calabasas, you know, city itself. How can I be part of it? If they have captioning every week, I'll be more participating in that event.
How do you use your humor with your deafness? I mean, is that part of your stage act, or do you pretend that it's not there? How does that work?
Oh, good question. I'm a born comedian, mm-hmm. and I love to entertain people. I love to make people laugh, and I have a lot of story to tell about my growing up and my experience around the world. If you want me to say a few jokes, I'm happy to do
Please
that.
Please do. I will do it short.
Let's see. I was in South Africa, in Victoria Falls, and all my friends say, come on, Sean, you know what? Bungee jump. The bungee jump? You kidding me? Come on. No, I can't do that. Oh, come on, she said, you chicken. Don't you think about bucket list? Shake it off when you get old. You wish I did that, right?
Right.
Yes, fine. So I went ahead, went in line up, one by one, they jump. Now my turn. The guy come up and said, okay, come on, you can be okay. They put a load of me, walk along the plank, and I look down. Don't look down, they get dizzy. Okay. Oh, you have a hearing aid on. Take it off. Oh, okay, but how can I hear you? No problem. I say, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, okay, and I'll push you. Oh, okay, good, I can hear you. I'm now in a hearing person. All right, so here we go. All right, 5, 4, 1, will you die? There you go.
Thank you. How do we say goodbye?
Bye-bye. Hey, it's so simple. Good. Bye. Yeah, little kid say, bye-bye, daddy.